Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Preacher and Miracle Man Show on a Monday, May 14th, 2018. And it is a very special, very different edition tonight. I'm at a different location. I'm at Grace Lutheran Church here in Auburn, kind of near Midland Road and kind of near US 10. We're going to be ministering to some youth tonight. We're at an event called Youth for Christ. It's something that happens on Monday nights. Brandon is one of my helpers, and he helps to do it. He's been a part of it for about 3 years. And so it's going to be awesome. Some of these kids are believers. Others of them are still working on it. Others of them not quite there yet. But the goal is we might possibly get to interview some of them. And I'm going to get to tell them about my life, you know, and the miracles that God has done for me and how I've gotten to where I am with God. And so it's going to be a great night, but in the meantime, right now, I do want to welcome you to the show, and it's going to be kind of one of those go-with-the-flow kind of nights, but I'm going to talk some sports. I am going to have some time in the Bible. We'll possibly be talking to some of these youth, as well as inviting them to listen live online to the Blog Talk Radio. Listen to teach on the Word of God and me talk about miracles and talk about, you know, what God has me speak on. And it's going to be amazing. And folks, for those of you who have been asking for a little bit over a month and a half now, what about the McMonday? All of us are going to McDonald's around 9 o'clock. McDonald's here in Auburn, and I believe I'm going to have a McChicken or a four-piece buttermilk crispy tenders, or I might get something else like one of the burgers, maybe a quarter pounder with cheese or something. And we'll see how that goes. But I'm excited. I think we're going to have a good night tonight. I really do. And we'll see where God takes us. For right now, while I'm in this room, I'm going to run it a bit normal. So I'm going to give the phone number and stuff in a minute. But for those of you who are interested in calling in, please note that tonight is going to be a bit different. But then tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we'll be back to more normal because we'll be back at the McDonald's over in Midland on South Saginaw Cross from Kmart. And it'll be back to normal programming. So some things out tonight will be a little bit different, but other things will be normal. And so we are still going to have our word, and we are still going to have our sports, just so you know. But folks, those of you who have friends, family members who are interested in listening to the show, if you have friends and family members who are interested in listening to the show, they can listen to it online. We are not on the analog airwaves. We're online only right now. And here's how you can listen to the show. You go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word, blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. And then you should see the link. You'll see a link. And the link is for Live and Large. L-I-V-I-N apostrophe space, large. Not living, but living. Like, he's living large, man. But praise God, that's the website. And we've done a lot of great things on the show. We've done awesome things. Some special songs we come up with. I'm going to work on a Waffle House spoof. Done some great things. We've done over 240 episodes, and they're all available. They're on their website for you to go check them out. And I don't know right now when I'll be talking to the young people, but we're going to make sure that they hear about the show. We'd like them to be listeners to this show, as trying to make an impact wherever possible, change the world through faith and radio, and young people could always say, you know, some of you folks who are older, whether you're a lot older or just a little older. Yes, I was a teenager once. I know what it's like. I got grounded. I did some things I shouldn't have done. Not the alcohol, the drugs, or the smoking that some of the kids do, but No teenager is perfect, and neither was I. And I had some battles, and we worked through them. And we're just looking to change the world through faith and radio. And that does include young people. And so we're trying to get through to them. And we do have a phone number that you can call us at. And we can talk about generally whatever we want to talk about. We can talk about sports. We can talk about God. We can pray together. We can talk about God. We can pray together. We can talk about sports. You know, basically whatever you want to talk about. And the telephone number you can call us at is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Now, once you call in, you listen for the prompt, and then when prompted to press 1, you can press 1, and then one of my assistant will answer the phone, and then we will let me know that a call is calling, and then I'm going to let you on, and we can talk. We do have 2 rules for the show, for the calling, but none of these are meant to be hostile. Both of them are just meant to keep the quality high for the show. And so, here's the rules. Rule number 1, this show is not a political talk show. It's not a political. We don't talk about politics on here, really. We don't believe it breeds light or life. So, yeah, that's why we don't talk about it, really, on the show. And we do. We'd rather give glory to God and stuff like that and talk about other things than talk about politics. We don't want to be dividers. We want to be uniters. And so if you do call in and you want to talk about politics, what's going to happen is I'm going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, as the Bible tells us clearly that that's what we should be doing, is praying for our leaders who have authority over us, for our leaders. And the other thing I'm going to tell you is that you should be voting in the elections. For example, November, the midterm elections, many states will be voting on governors this year. An awful lot of states will be doing that. And so what will happen? So your governor is term limited and you can't run again, please go vote. Please go vote. Make your voice heard, and I would encourage you to vote Bible. So, we'll keep that in mind. The other rule is that this show is a family show, and what that means is we invite people of all ages, backgrounds, to just come on and listen to the show and enjoy the show and receive from God. And so we ask that you please keep your comments and your topics and whatever you want to talk about, keep it appropriate for everybody. So just keep it clean, PG-13 at very worst, nothing R-rated. And so, one reason that we say this is because the most important reason actually is We want God to be proud of the show. I want God to be able to look down on this program and say, God, I mean, and say, Rivers, Miracle Man, I'm very pleased with you. Pleased with how you conduct your show, how you live your life. And you're just awesome. And so we just ask that with your content and stuff that you just keep it clean. And we generally have a rule that I go by. I have a rule that I go by, and what I would say is, if you wouldn't say certain things to Jesus, by all means, please don't come and say them on this program. No, we're not talking sports and that. We can always talk sports. We're talking about the derogatory, you know, things, stuff like that. But, amen. So if we can follow the rules and everything else, we can take some calls tonight. And I think it's going to be a great night. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in these young people tonight. And so I'm really believing God that He uses me, Dan Brandon, and those the other helpers to help make a difference tonight. Because I'm really believing that some things are going to happen tonight. I'm believing that some of these kids who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that tonight is their night to do so. And wanted to do this for a while, and it just turned out tonight happens to be the night. And so, with that, I'm going to pray and over the show tonight, and I'm also going to pray for our young people. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight and this show. Thank you, Lord God, that you bless me, that you use me, use my lips, and you use what I say. I pray, Lord God, that I'll be an oracle for you and that I will say what you would have me say tonight rather than what I would have me say. So I ask you to help me with that, Lord. And I ask you that you would just bless the Word of God tonight as we are about to open the Word here in a couple minutes. And just bless me. Bless those who are listening to this show, Lord, tonight. And Lord, I thank you for this show, Lord God, that we will have a broader reach. We'll reach more people for you, God, a lot more people. And I thank you, Lord God, that what's going to happen is that the audience of this show is going to greatly increase. All people, Lord God, and that, you know, we're just going to have great increases in audience listenership. I pray, Lord God, that finances come into the show. I thank you, Lord God, that sponsors come to the show. And I thank you, Lord God, that new equipment comes to the show so that we can make the show as good sounding and as high quality as it can be. And Lord God, I thank you for our young people, for not just the young people who are here tonight not just the young people that go to Living Word or another spirit-filled church, but to other young people, the young people across this country. I thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, that you'd begin to speak to these young people. Lord God, I pray that you would send more laborers who want to do youth ministry out into the fields where the young people are, whether it be maybe the schools with after-school activities, maybe it be maybe functions where the youth might be over the summer, whatever it might be. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you will bless, rise up ministers and young adults who have a heart for young people, Lord, and that they would minister to them. We would shake this nation. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would, that as America is transformed towards you, Lord God, I thank you that there will be revival among our young people as well. As young people, they're our future. They're our future. And Lord, I know, you know, 10, 12 years ago when I was like 11, 12, 13 years ago when I was 16, 17, 18, but even a couple of years before that, I was told we're the future of our nation. And that is now. Us millennials, we have the greatest share of the population. You know, those who were born in 2000, so those who are 18 up to like 33 years old, 34 years old. I thank you, Lord God, that you will bless people who want to reach generation Y and Z, and generation Z, right? These young people right now. And I just thank you, Lord God, that bless these leaders, and that you'd speak to some of these youth that do know you to talk to other youth about you, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord God, that this nation is going to be shook, Lord God, and we're going to have a big difference is going to be made in this nation and in its young people. And Lord God, even the college students, as our college students need a lot of work too. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to get through to them as well in this country, and that we can make this country more for you and get it right back on the foot that you've intended. As that, Lord God, is the real part of making America great, is us getting America back on the right track, and that is helping people find you, Lord. That is how we make America great. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to open my Bible to, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 18. And folks, those of you who are listening, whatever I do, you do for this next little while. So if I'm reading in my Bible, start to study, you study with us. And if I pray, you pray. If I start singing, you know, sing along if you know the words. So generally, whatever I do here, you do where you are. happens. So praise God, I'm just finding my spot. When I get there, I will begin to lead. Once I find what I'm looking for. And you know, folks, there's two pages. Okay, let me explain. I'm not a pastor, but there are two sounds that pastors love most. Dr. Barclay has said that, has said this loud and clear. Kind of joking, but I kind of think he means it too. Here's how it is. There are two sounds that a pastor loves the most. Number one, they're not in any particular order either, but number one is, again, not, that doesn't mean that number one is most favorite, number two is second most favorite, but a pastor loves to hear pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. Oh, boy. You know, pastors love that because, no, it's not like, no, we're not talking about that they're money hungry or anything like that. And yes, we do have hirelings in this country and that, but what we're talking about is ultimately that those are the two sounds that pastors love most, is pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. And I kind of think Pastor Barclay was teasing, but we're not sure. Brandon, do you think he was teasing or do you think he was telling the truth that those are the two favorite sounds? In a way, he was doing it to bring comedy, too, though, I think.
Oh, yeah. He knows what he does best.
Yes, he does. But praise God, I've found, and actually, I read 18 part of last time, so actually, it's numbers 19. And so I'm going to begin reading right now. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring you a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Give it to Eleazar the priest, who it is to be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence. Then Eleazar the priest is to take some of its blood on his finger and sprinkle it seven times toward the front of the tent of meeting. While he watches, the heifer is to be burned. Its hidden flesh, blood, and offal. And the priest is to take some cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet wool, and throw onto the burning heifer. After that, the priest must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. He may then come into the camp, but he will be ceremonially unclean until evening. And the man who burns it must also wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he too will be unclean until evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and put them. I was just turning the page. In a ceremonially clean place outside of the camp. And they shall be kept by the Israelite community for use in the water and cleansing. for purification from sin. The man who gathers up the ashes with a heifer must also wash his clothes, and he too will be unclean until evening. This will be a lasting ordinance both for the Israelites and for the aliens living among them. And whoever touches the dead body of anyone will be unclean for 7 days. He must purify himself with the water on the third day. And on the seventh day, then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third and seventh days, he will be whoever touches the dead body of anyone and who fails to purify himself defiles the Lord's tabernacle, and that person must be cut off from Israel, because the water of cleansing has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. His uncleanliness remains on him. And this is the law that applies for a person who dies in a tent. No one who enters the tent and anyone who is in it will be unclean for 7 days. And every open container without a lid fastened on it will be unclean. There goes your Coke bottle. And anyone out in the open who touches someone who has been killed with a sword or someone who has died a natural death, nor anyone who touches a human bone or a grave will be unclean for 7 days. And for the unclean person with the ashes from the room purification, offering into a jar and pour fresh water over them. Then a man who is ceremonially unclean is to take some hyssop, dip it in the water, and sprinkle the tent and all the furnishings and the people who were there. He must also sprinkle anyone who has touched a human bone or a grave or someone who has been killed or someone who has died a natural death. The man who is clean is to sprinkle the unclean person on the third and seventh days. And on the seventh day, he is to purify himself. And that person must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and that evening he will be clean. But if a person who is unclean does not purify himself, he must be cut off from the community because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. And the water of cleansing has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. This is a lasting ordinance with him. And the man who sprinkles the water of cleansing must also wash his clothes, and anyone who touches the water of cleansing will be unclean until evening. And anything that an unclean person touches becomes unclean, and anyone who touches it becomes unclean until evening. All right, here we go. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Let's go to as a reminder, no, we're not to throw away the Old Testament, folks. The Old Testament was written so that we could learn from it. You know, a lot of Christians, you know, they're thinking, oh, we should throw away the Old Testament. We should just throw it away. No, 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 no. There are lots of things in there that are very important, you know. And even though the burnt offerings and the drink offerings, we don't have to do those anymore. Thank God. But there's things in it, that Old Testament, like Proverbs, Psalms, you know, other places, Genesis. Lots of good stories in there and lots of things to learn from. So by all means, do not throw away the Old Testament. You'll be very sorry if you do. And so we're going to get into Hebrews 11 right now. We're going to talk about faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and the evidence of what we do not yet see. Evidence. That's something you're going to hear me talk about a bit more. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now that's, no, that's not God who's dead. That's talking about, you know, that's talking about Abel. And by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we always add to that, but with faith, it is possible to please God. And anyone who comes to him, he must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly, that means you're doing it all the time. Not once in a while, not once a week, once a month. That doesn't work. And by God, do it all the time. And by faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, but they welcomed them from a distance, praise God. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And he who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Why? And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, because I got to Gaza. I was kidding. I said that once on the show to be funny. I was saying you would have got the point because I said I don't have the time because I got to Gaza. I figured you would have known because I would have figured that when I read that was, you know. No, that's not why you didn't have the time. Okay, I don't have the time to talk about Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them, and they wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. All right, now I'm going to read the first two verses of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and seated down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. Let's talk about this for a few minutes. Okay. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Even though you might have not seen manifest yet that miracle you believe in for, you might have not seen that financial miracle manifest yet, that money. You might have not seen, you know, your feet healed, your back healed, your eyes, your ears, you know, you might have not seen in the natural those things happen yet. But if you have faith in God and you're asking God and you're praying over yourself, by the way, you need to be praying over yourself, you know, if you got a tongue, use it. Use it. Pray over yourself. Call yourself healed. Call yourself delivered. Call yourself free. You say, you know, I'm believing to get free from alcohol, and I want to be free from liver cancer. Okay? You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ask him. Tell him. Say it out loud. Call yourself healed. Call yourself free, delivered, and healed. And you say, Lord Jesus, I command in the name of Jesus, I claim that I am set free from alcohol, and that by your stripes, Lord Jesus, I am free from liver cancer. I am healed of liver cancer. And we call those things that are not as though they are. This can work in a lot of things. Your money, your finance, I mean your money, your health, your all kinds of situations. Lost family members, prodigals. There's all kinds of areas we can work. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of what we do not yet see. Meaning, in the natural, it hasn't happened yet. I have faith in God. Oh, I have faith in God. That the rest of my healing, my eyesight, the ear hearing in my right ear, the ear canal, and all this other stuff, that it's going to be made manifest. The manifestation is going to take place, and I'm going to feel it. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's powerful. Evidence is something that is going to be talked about at Invasion this year. Invasion is a youth conference for youth as well as young adults. Happens basically about 2 months from right now. July 17th to 20th. On the campus of Mark Barclay Ministries at 2010 North Stark Road over in Midland. And it's a time of fun as well as, more importantly, getting closer to God, getting delivered from things, and all kinds of great things. And the theme this year is evidence of being free, evidence of speaking in tongues, evidence that Jesus is real, evidence, praise God, evidence. And when something is evident, that means it's well known. You can't make it up anymore. It's very evident. You know, I know for sure it's infallible. It's documented. And what I mean by documented is it's for sure. You know. And when it's evident, it cannot be made up. You know, this faith stuff is not made up. It's evident. It's very real. And it's powerful. And, you know, you got to be seeking God. You got to be asking Him to help you. I mean, you got to be claiming what you're asking for from Him. I mean, through Him, you got to claim the things you're believing for. For example, you could say, I'm believing for my prodigal son to come home. Now, I don't have a kid. I was just using that as an example. I'm believing for my prodigal son to come home. And you call it out. You believe God. You know, you ask Him. You get others in agreement with you. Other good, solid Christians, they'll believe with you. You know, they'll pray with you. And you watch. That person will come home. And, you know, so it is a powerful thing. Faith is very powerful, but it's also very important. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So you can't do it by just reading verses. You have to have it put in your ears. What I mean is the word put in your ears. This can mean via CD or thumb drive, you have it, like the Bible on CD. It could be, or your iPhone, or whatever. Or it could be people like Dr. Barclay, Brother Copeland. All kinds of good ones. Or it could be listening to this program, listening to me talk about it, listening to me read. So, can't get faith by reading it. You got to hear it. And that's how it comes. Why was it designed that way? You say, well, I'm only good at reading, but I'm not really that good at listening. Well, the way God designed it, and why He did it this way, I don't know. He designed it so that you have to hear it in order for it to be put in. And so that's one of the reasons, but that is one of the reasons that you need to be in a good, solid Christian church that loves God, that believes in speaking in tongues, you know, that You know, where the pastor just loves God and the pastor is clean and he's right or she's right. You know, whoever the pastor is. And so one of the reasons you need it is to get that faith built up. And right now, for example, my faith is that as we get to meet the young people in a bit, my faith is that they will see me. No, not that they'll see me, but they'll notice something about me. Something about Bling. Something about the people, and they'll know. You know? And I claim that some of these people, that these kids, the ones who haven't given their life over to Jesus, I claim that they're going to do it tonight. Oh. And by the way, those of you who are listening to this program right now, by the way, you can also give your life to Christ right now. And here's the deal, folks. It takes 15 seconds. It costs you no money. And it doesn't even hurt. It does not hurt. You'll go to the doctor's office. You'll get a blood draw. Oh, you can get your blood pressure checked, which doesn't hurt. You just feel that little pressure thing on your arm. It hurts less than that even. In fact, you'll feel a lot better about yourself. It'll make you feel better. And so, if you want to give your life to Christ, please call into the show. The telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. And then listen for the prompts, and then you press 1, and we'll get you on. I feel like God wants to have us make a confession. Dear Heavenly Father, come, I ask you to come into my heart. I'm tired of living my own way. I'm tired of being my own Lord. I ask you to come in and be my Savior. I give my life to honor you. I want to be a part of your kingdom. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And those, now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you gave your life to Christ for the first time, or even if you just kind of ran away from him, you know, as people do, and you gave your life to Christ, back to Christ, you know, the angels in heaven, you know, and Jesus, they're just having a huge party. And I heard one, did you say, you know, somebody watching fireworks somewhere, and I saw that on video, and the guy says, you know, there'll be more fireworks in heaven for that person who repents and gives their life to Christ than what there is on earth at one 20-minute, 30-minute, 40-minute fireworks show on the 4th of July. It's true. It's true. As it is a very big deal when someone gives their life to or comes back to Jesus as your future is changed from eternal damnation and hell to eternal paradise. And That's the goal. That's why I'm here tonight. I care about these young people, and I want to see them make heaven. And that's why. That's why I'm here. That's why Invasion happens. Why Josh Barkley has done it for so many years. And you know, he always says, Dr. Buckley always says, if one soul gives their life to Christ, it's worth it. Now, oh, many more than one do it every year. Many more than one. Many people come back to Jesus, get back on the right track. You know, because that is the goal. That's the goal. It's not about how loud can we make the music. How much CO2 can we bring out of those ice things? You know, how cool can we make Josh look? What can we eat at the spoon? Oh, no, it's not about that. All right, so, folks, we am going to cut it off right now as we're going to get to doing some things. So we will talk some more tomorrow night, folks. And so until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow night.